with Ali C.
Lady America tonight. Lots happening in and outside of Washington. We always go inside the Beltway, though, right off the bat to talk to the true insiders of talk radio. From Talk Radio News, Victoria Jones joins us. Wow, the president talking about Rush Limbaugh today. First of all, how did that come up, and what did he say?
Well, he was flat out asked a question about Rush Limbaugh. But he said that he could comment on the fact that all decent folks can agree that those remarks that he made do not have any place in public discourse. And he said that the reason that he called Sandra Fluke is that he thought about Malia and Sasha, and one of the things that he wants them to do when they're older is engage in issues they care about. He wants them to be able to speak their minds in a civil, thoughtful way, and he doesn't want them attacked or called horrible names because they're being good citizens.
Yeah, interesting to hear him talk about that and say that you mentioned this, saying he didn't, when he apologized, you know, he didn't know his heart, so how could he say whether the apology was sincere or not?
Exactly. No, he refused to go into that at all. But he said that he also wanted Sandra Fluke's parents to know that he thought that they should be proud of her.
Yeah, which is good that he said that. Is that surprising to hear him even address talk radio, especially the godfather, whether you like him or not, of radio, Rush Limbaugh? Isn't that kind of feeding into the whole thing?
You know, he called him a radio announcer.
Really? He said radio announcer?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. It'll be interesting to see the fallout the next couple of days. Hey, speaking of fallout, the other thing that Obama said, and I guess it was said kind of sarcastically, did he take a jab at Romney and say something like good luck to him or something for Super Tuesday?
Well, one of the reporters asked what he would say to Mitt Romney on this Super Tuesday, and he said good luck tonight. And with that huge smile of his, and so she followed up and said something, and he just said, really?
Boy, I'll tell you what, anymore, you're not even covering the issues, Victoria. You are covering the gossip in D.C. That's what it's turned into.
We choose today because we certainly talked about Iran. And, you know, because he was talking about his Iran, his policies, not containment. And then he suddenly said, after he's been talking about applying pressure and Iran and walking through and rejoining the nations, that's my track record. And then there was a pause, and then he said, what is said on the campaign trail? These folks don't have a lot of responsibility. They're not commander-in-chief. And I thought, here we go. And he was off to the races. When I see the casualness with which these folks talk about war, I'm reminded of the cost of war, the decisions I have to make in terms of sending out young men and women into battle, in terms of the impact on their lives and the economy. And it's not a game. There's nothing casual about it. When I see folks talk a lot of bluster and big talk, but when you ask them specifically what they would do, it turns out that they repeat things we've been doing for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Hey, one last one. You know, with everything they're kicking around in the Middle East besides Iran, Syria is always in the background. John Boehner said today, hey, U.S. action there is just premature. And I think he's kind of drawing a distinction between himself and Senator McCain. That's just another thing that keeps playing out, right, as more horrible things happen in Syria.
Yes, Syria is very much playing out. It's very interesting that John Boehner chose to take a position different from John McCain. John McCain has aligned himself with Joe Lieberman and Lindsey Graham on this one, and they're really the three very hawkish ones on Syria. Nobody else has gone as far as that. In fact, I think he's the only one who's made a floor speech saying that there should be air attacks on Syria. Nobody else has gone that far, and Boehner has actually made a statement saying that that's what we should not do.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Victoria Jones, always great stuff from you. Thanks so much. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again.
Thank you very
much. All right, so you heard Victoria there, and, of course, Super Tuesday looms large as well. A lot of that was the reaction, Obama poking fun. He, in fact, was answering a question from NBC's Nora O'Donnell, who threw that zinger or curveball, actually more of a curveball, his way. Romney right now is leading in Ohio. That's the latest that we have. Earlier in the night, he was trailing by just a little bit. They're pretty much neck and neck. And when I say they are pretty much neck and neck, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Rick Santorum, the other side of that coin. Because to me, it's a two-man race at this point. But Newt Gingrich would probably disagree, since Newt Gingrich picked up Georgia and had a rousing speech, or delivered a rousing speech. Santorum picks up Tennessee, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Mitt Romney officially, Massachusetts, Virginia, and Vermont. Ohio was the dead heat. Looks like Mitt Romney is pulling ahead by just a little bit. The final count, however, is not in. And Santorum was really hitting these people hard. He was talking about, at one point I saw earlier in the day, he was saying, Ohio, that's my roots. Ohio, this is me. Oh, Ohio. And Ohio is important because of the presidential race and what it means to the presidential race, and ultimately the delegates that you would get. It's about the numbers. We keep saying the same thing. When does it come down to just one person? Usually by Super Tuesday. I went back and looked through the history a little bit more, dug a little bit deeper, and scraped off the barnacles of some of my research. And sure enough, really, Super Tuesday calls it for the most part. Not always, not in every single one of our elections, but usually that's the norm. Officially, we can't really say that, even though statistically it does look like Romney land. It does look like Romney land, but there is a chance, maybe Santorum, maybe, I mean, it would be a Hail Mary, overtakes him. What do you think the realistic odds, however, are of that? We're going to be talking a lot about Super Tuesday and the effects of Super Tuesday. Other things that we're going to fling your way, too. We'll take a break from the political madness and go to our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohead. He has reaction to the monkeys, of course, the death of Davy Jones. A lot of people still reacting to Davy Jones. He was the heartthrob that for a long time he held that lane. He had a lock on the ladies, if you will, and the monkeys were an interesting group because they opened for a lot of big acts like the Rolling Stones. And remember, we've had on our show before some of the other members of the band. Mickey Dolenz was one of them. But we'll chat with Stephen Shohead at the bottom of the hour and take a break from the politics for just a few minutes. Also, the business of getting things done and not getting things done. We talk about speculating and bad news and all that sort of stuff. U.S. stocks, worst day of 2012. Out of the gate, terrible day. We'll give you the Dow numbers and the rest. I mean, not like 2008. Not like people have lost thousands and thousands of dollars out of their 401k. Although, people who were at the craps table, because it is our modern version of craps, did lose a few trinkets, to be sure, since really you had a couple of hundred points down in the Dow and across the board and all the other indices, too. More reaction to Iran. Even there, you heard in the conversation with Victoria, she brought up Iran as the one thing that is being talked about because of Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, just visiting in Washington and the conversation with the president to start the week out. So this conversation rolls forward of more what ifs if we jump in with Iran and what if we don't. If you want to throw in, you know it's a wide open lane. 800-259-5791. See you in a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
I like to see you right across the floor.
There'll be good days, there'll be bad days. Like always long hours, never enough time to get everything done. But on November 6th, we're going to stand united, not only having won an election, but having saved a future.
Mitt Romney trying to save face, if you will, because, you know, he's got to blow the doors off this thing. If he's going to take charge, he's going to be the man. He's going to really go after Barack Obama and rally Republicans of all shapes and sizes. Then he needs to crush the competition, and that's not happening. It's not happening the Super Tuesday anyway. I already mentioned the state Santorum took and what Romney has now, and it looks like Romney's pulled ahead in Ohio, which that's a moment for him. He's wiping his brow somewhere because he has to take Ohio. Not taking Ohio wouldn't be very helpful when it comes to the count as you get closer to the day. He just said November 6th. You know, all roads lead to Ohio for some reason. Hey, I went to school there. Love the people in Ohio. They know the power that they wield when it comes to elections. The interesting thing is not a lot of talk about Ron Paul, not a lot of talk about Gingrich, other than the fact that Newt Gingrich won in his own backyard, Georgia. And after all of the attacks that he made on Mitt Romney, and whether or not he would win Michigan, he had to take Georgia, and he did. Now, it sounds like we're talking about election results. Remember, these are primaries. So they are results, but they're primaries and some caucuses, too. Like, North Dakota is pretty much akin to a beauty pageant. So there are different things you're looking at. There are different ways that the delegates are proportioned out. It's very strange when you sit and you go from state to state and look at how it's done, actually. So for Romney and for really everyone else, it's the same thing that I just said at the top. It's about the numbers. It's about breaking the code, cracking the code, and getting enough people to say, oh, well, he's tough enough. He's conservative enough for me. He's whatever. Because the flavors of the Republican Party become a problem for Mitt Romney. Is he not right enough? Is he not hardcore evangelical enough? Whatever it is. Is he too much of a Mormon? I mean, we know the storylines because we've been living with the storylines for a very, very long time. And our conservatives satisfied with Mitt Romney, it keeps coming back to that big question. Will conservatives ever really adopt this guy? Go out in full force. Go out and vote, 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 vote. And the answer is, it doesn't look that way other than the strong voices in the Republican Party that are kingmakers from previous administrations, from current administrations, and that's it, the endorsement game. And certainly there are people that are saying, yeah, to Mitt Romney, but there seems to be more people that are saying, no, anybody but Mitt Romney, anybody but Mitt Romney, yet he collects those states, including, it looks like, Ohio. It's pretty close, but it looks like it has swung back in the direction of Mitt Romney. All right, I said I would talk about this because besides Super Tuesday, I've been bombarded with questions from you. I went in this morning to the email. You know, I put on my sneakers, ran down to the mailbox because I do that at 6 a.m. when I've had a couple hours sleep. But I'm in New Jersey, so I have my Wawa coffee. That is the ultimate thing. That's the first thing I do. No brushing of teeth. I'm going to get personal here. No brushing of teeth, anything. It's like get up, get to Wawa, get that coffee. And so once I have the coffee going and I started checking the email, besides, sure, all the nonsense of what's going on with the campaign and, you know, why isn't Ron Paul doing this or what's the deal with Rick Santorum or, you know, why is Mitt Romney getting shoved down everyone's throats or I like Mitt Romney, why are people picking on Mitt Romney? You know, the normal things, the cascade of emails in that direction, everybody wanted to talk about what was going on with Israel and whether or not Netanyahu would leave Washington, agree to a wink and a nod of, okay, I'm going to play diplomacy for now, or get on the plane, think a little bit differently, make a few phone calls and decide, you know what, we've got to go for this. And the U.S., you've got to be there for us. You got to back us up. And sorry about the timing of your elections, but we can't wait any longer because nuclear Iran, like Netanyahu said, and I agree with this. This, to me, this was it in a nutshell. Nuclear Iran must not happen. And I can give you 15 reasons why we don't want a nuclear Iran. As much as everything's been invested in Iraq, everything's been invested in Afghanistan, really, do you think we want to be exposed to the situation in Iran? Remember the bombs that, there were missiles that killed some of our soldiers, and it turns out when we saw the little scrawling on some of the weapons that were found coming across the border to arm the insurgents in Baghdad had ties to Iran. Think of that. I think of some of the other things Ahmadinejad has done. And then you ask yourself, really, do you trust this country to just be working on uranium enrichment for power? What are they going to do? They're going to have windmills in everybody's house in Tehran? I don't think so. I think there's no question that it's a nuclear game. And certainly with the chitter-chatter that goes on internationally, we're well aware of it. So that's not even a question. It's a question of he's dodging it and trying to get around the whole thing, and it's not working. And most of you who sent me emails, by the way, agreed that you couldn't go in the same direction as Ron Paul and say, well, diplomacy, because it hasn't worked. 24 economic sanctions, I counted them. Most of them without very much bite to them. More threats than anything else. And Here we are in the midst of another economic sanction. This time a little bit different because you're dealing with banking and you put the brakes on bucks. Then that's where Iran rears back a little bit and they're trying to throw something in the way of the international community. That's why the Strait of Hormuz and all the amping up for the possibility and the conversation about what would happen, will they come after us, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like Gary. Gary says, listening to us in Indiana, Kate, I'm just so sick of the talk of Iran. I think that we just need to flat out go after Ahmadinejad. You can't tell me that there's no way to take this guy out and make it look like somebody else did it. Oh, Gary, Gary, Gary. Oh, shame on you. We have to put you in timeout. The thought I respect because I say this all the time. If I had a hit list, of course he would make the top of the hit list. The reality is, look at the blowback we've already gotten for several things. Can you imagine, like, collateral damage when drones are used? Can you imagine if, and even Osama bin Laden, the situation with Pakistan, can you imagine if he was taken out and it was traced to somebody in the U.S., traced to a SEAL team or whatever? Yeah, that wouldn't play very well because the rest of the world, meaning Russia and China, who are not on board with this situation in Iran, they're not playing in the same sandbox. If that were to happen, then it'd be worse than World War III. So that's not the answer, and it's really not a possibility unless somebody else were to take them out and just do us a favor, let's say. But with the bodyguard and everything else, I wouldn't count on it. So we're stuck. We got to play. We got to dance to this tune. And we can't, I agree with Gary, though, we can't keep dancing with this same guy over and over and over and over and over again, whether it's the combination of Ahmadinejad or the Supreme Being. Either way, it's a bad hand, and we got to get rid of this hand. We need the cards to be mucked. You know what that is? That means we need to mix it up. We need to stack the deck in a different direction. And I'm sorry, but carrying a big stick doesn't matter anymore. Do you think people, there's a question. Do you think people fear the United States as much as they did? Do you think they fear us? I'm going to say not so much. That's what happens when you have 23, 24 economic sanctions. Because they ignore the sanctions until now, and we're stuck looking like, well, they're just going to do that same thing over and over and over again, and we're just going to do what we want to do. So the time for talk is over. Elections are not. Coming up, we're not talking about Iran. We're not talking about Super Tuesday and the battle for Ohio or any of the other states. We're going to Hollywood next.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables, and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like elderberry power, oregacillin, olive leaf capsules, grapefruit seed extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried.
That song's been done as a cover tune many, many, many times, but that is the original version, the Monkees, I'm a Believer. Davy Jones' death has really set off a lot of conversation about the Monkees and the impact of their music and some of the groups and whatnot that they used to tour with. I think I told this story, but it's worth mentioning quickly again. In New Jersey, running down to grab a cup of coffee, I'm in the store, and I don't know why, but the cashier starts to talk to me about, oh, Davy Jones, I think it was because I had a paper at one of the New York papers, and he was on the cover. Oh, the Monkees, I used to have their posters, and oh, I loved them when I was in school, and on about, she like knew every detail about Davy Jones and a lot about the band. I remember they used to have that Saturday show that replayed again and again and again, where they did kind of zany things and then sang their songs and whatnot. So, waiting in the wings, our man in Hollywood, Stephen Showhead, joins us. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Hey, Kate, how you doing?
Were you a Monkees fan?
Kind of. I didn't see the show originally when it ran on the air in prime time, but I got into it a little bit on Saturday mornings, although I had problems following it sometimes or figuring it out. But I really like the songs, though, especially Daydream Believer and Not Your Stepping Stone and Last Train to Clarksville. I mean, they're really enjoyable songs. I'd say I'm a fan. I'm still a fan. And there was just something neat and kind of innocent about them, at least as how they appeared on TV. Now, behind the scenes, I guess it wasn't always that way.
Yeah, behind the scenes, I'm sure you've got some stories for us. What was it like behind the scenes for this group?
Well, It goes back, the two producers, Bob Rafelson and Bert Schneider, having the ambition to make movies, but thinking making a TV show is easier. So they came up with this idea. They had seen the Beatles movie A Hard Day's Night, although later Rafelson denied that that was the big influence. But they thought, you know, we could have a story about a zany young band, and it's too expensive to hire the Beatles, but we'll make this band a little tribute to the Beatles. We'll call it the Monkees, but we'll misspell it, you know, with EE, just like the Beatles is EA. It should be EE. So, it's like a little tribute there. And then they put an ad asking for zany kids, Ben Franks types, in the Variety in the Hollywood trade paper. And Ben Franks is now gone. It used to be a restaurant on Sunset Boulevard. It's now been replaced by Mel's Diner. And it was legendary for people in the music industry to hang out there, for hippies to hang out there, for people who were into psychedelic stuff. Now, actually, only one guy answered from that ad who became part of the group, and that was Michael Nesmith, and who became known as Woolcap because he showed up to audition in a wool cap, and that helped him make an impression. And the other three guys, Peter Tork was recommended by Stephen Stills. Stephen Stills, he was told that he couldn't be a monkey because he needed his hair and his teeth fixed, and he said, well, they could have fixed my hair and my teeth, but instead I recommended to them this guy who kind of looked like me, this folk singer named Peter Tork, and then the other two guys were actors, Davy Jones and Mickey Dolenz, and Davy Jones was already under contract to Columbia, and they both had to audition, but they fell into place, and then they were given a course in improvisational acting, and also the key thing with them was they were told, and they did watch a lot of Marx Brothers movies and a lot of Three Stooges movies, and they were from the very beginning starting to act crazy. In fact, one of the things that hurt them was they were at Chasen's restaurant and they acted pretty wildly. They were supposed to impress the NBC network affiliates. They ran out into the street and blocked traffic and poured water on people's heads, and people were kind of offended by them. And the Monkey Show got on less affiliates than it could have, and even though it was widely watched, it didn't get the ratings that it probably could have gotten. You had a big dilemma at that time for people. Do they watch the Monkees or Gilligan's Island? Because there was no VCRs. But obviously the Monkees did get a big following, and it helped lead them to tremendous record sales at the same time, which of course caused them frustration since they weren't really playing on those records.
Yeah. And hands down, Davy Jones was the heartthrob guy, right?
Well, he was, but I think most people thought it was Dolenz who really gave them their sound. I think that's what Michael Nesmith said. But you know what happened, though? When they teamed up with Jimi Hendrix, who said that he hated them because he thought a bunch of no talents making money, and it was just the worst fit possible for Jimi Hendrix. Because he's opening for them, and you have a lot of younger girls there wanting to see the Monkees. So Jimi Hendrix would try and sing the song Foxy Lady, and he'd yell out Foxy, and the girls would yell out Davy. So, Davy was definitely the heartthrob of the group and the one who really, really was probably the star, although you know, they needed the contributions from Dolan, certainly, singing those songs. I mean, it turned out that he had a great voice. And that was very frustrating for Peter Tork and Michael Nesmith, because when they're doing the tracks in the studio, Davy Jones and Dolan's are actually doing something. They're singing, but Michael Nesmith and Peter Tork at first were doing nothing, really, not contributing at all. We're just there pretending to play instruments on TV. They really wanted more control. I think with Michael Nesmith, it was more getting, getting into the business and being an entrepreneur. And for Peter Tork, it was just wanting to be artistically viable and being a contributor to the band that way. And of course, eventually they did get to play their own stuff in the studio. But Davy Jones, I got to tell you, he was just a very funny, witty man. About 2 years ago, he was doing an interview and he was talking about getting back together with the Monkees and said, oh, that wouldn't happen. I can't be around them. I mean, look at Peter Tork. He started a one-man band and then left with Creative Differences.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, so, you know, he's just joking around. They got back together after he said that. But you know, Davy Jones was always doing funny things like that. And Peter Tork just wrote an article the other day that said that his favorite Monkee was Davy. So I think Davy, even though Peter Tork was really throwing wild parties at one point with sort of a hippie crowd that Davy Jones didn't always feel comfortable with, they definitely had different sensibilities about things. I think ultimately that Davy Jones was just somebody that people just really liked and was just a very funny guy.
Oh yeah, and they opened for some big people. You know, they used to open for the Stones way back when. That's wild.
Well, the most amazing thing was, and it just shows you the power of television, is that in 1967 they sold more albums than the Stones and the Beatles combined.
Wow.
And that's just an amazing thing. And one of the really nice things, I think, was that the Beatles were so nice to them. I mean, you could think that the Beatles would be insulted by them, and think, hey, you're horning in on our deal. Now, one of the things was, when you watch the Beatles movies, the Beatles are always on top, and they're obviously big stars and being chased by girls all the time, and really the vulnerable character in the Beatles is Ringo in the movies, but the other ones are really like sort of sure of themselves. With the Monkees, it was different because on their show, they were trying to become famous, trying to break through. So they had sort of a more of an underdog thing going. But the Beatles were just so gracious to them. I think one of the things with the Beatles was that they got so tired of doing concerts and being unable to hear themselves. And when they met the Monkees, they were committed to being a studio band. And I think they were cool with the Monkees going out on the road and putting up with the screaming that they no longer had to put up with. But they would never say anything bad about the Monkees. I mean, one time they tried the press tried to goad McCartney into saying something bad, and he just wouldn't. And John Lennon said that they're like the Marx Brothers. They're so talented. They're doing these zany things on their TV show, and we can't make a TV show like they can. So it was just really great how gracious the Beatles were.
Yeah, oh yeah, no kidding. Very, very gracious. And I've spoken with Mickey Dolenz, and he's talked about that before. Wow, this was fascinating stuff. Stephen Showhead, as always, thanks so much for coming on the show, Hollywood Stories. How's that going, bud? You've sold thousands of copies, haven't you?
Yeah, it's in the thousands. It's really doing well. The great thing is the reaction to the book. And by the way, I am working on a second book. I don't know when it'll be done.
Sweet.
A couple of years, because this one was 20 years of research.
Yeah,
so I can't say for sure. But I'm always collecting new stories. But the book, Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies, selling well, great gift. HollywoodStories.com is the website. And it's really a timeless thing. And I just got a review. The reviewer said it should be in the Smithsonian, and they meant that in a nice way. So that was a very nice thing.
I love that. Hey, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
You got it.
Yeah, I love that. If someone says you want to be in the Smithsonian, that's a positive deal. All right, so we're not talking about relics, or at least not yet. Maybe some of you think the people that are running on the Republican side are relics. Maybe you don't. I mean, if you narrowed this down, what if you could pick anyone? I mean, let's just say, pick anyone. Just anybody that you really think would make a good president. I'd be curious, who would that be? 800-259-5791. We're off to the races.
Journey for Truth on WebTalkRadio.net takes you on a journey through a multitude of controversial and passionate topics that bring awareness to issues and stories occurring on a national and global scale. Are we as a society being lied to? Are we manipulated into thinking a certain way or into having a certain opinion? Isn't it time to be proactive instead of passive? Join Journey for Truth on WebTalkRadio.net today. Brought to you by Oscar Harrison of Jonah Life Institute.
Are you a leader or board member of a newer nonprofit? Then you're building your nonprofit while wondering, are we doing this right? Well, stop wondering and start listening. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark to hear nuts and bolts advice about fundraising, planning, finances, and more. The conversations are geared to newer leaders like you. So boost your nonprofit know-how and confidence. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark today.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with
ExtendoVite. Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. Solar power generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to MySolarBackup.com for more information. That's MySolarBackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
Politics and Super Tuesday. We mentioned already Newt Gingrich captures Georgia for what it's worth. Here's the thing. Nobody's dropping out of this, though. Nobody's going to dump out. Ron Paul's not going to dump out. He's got a big stake in this game when it comes to Tampa. And Santorum certainly isn't. And Newt Gingrich is not going to do it. He's going to roll around and revel in Georgia and what's happened in Georgia. And I think really ratchet it up, the conversation, the hardcore you know, the hardcore, I'm the guy, lower gas prices, I can debate Obama. And I think he's going to try to make that final turn again. So nobody's throwing out the white flag. Nobody's giving up. Nobody's saying that's it, and I'm supporting so-and-so. And if you break this down, earlier in the evening on Tuesday, Rick Santorum claims, and remember, these are primaries and caucuses, Tennessee and Oklahoma and North Dakota. I mentioned Gingrich already. Massachusetts, Virginia, Vermont go to Romney. Ohio looking like it'll go the way of Mitt Romney. But Mitt Romney, no matter what, doesn't seem to get that respect. So I threw out this. If it's anybody but Mitt, and then they just did this poll where they threw in Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, who's been talked about, Jeb Bush, the former governor of Florida, and, of course, the Bush legacy. Sarah Palin's name was thrown out. So who do you want to be president? If it's not a Democrat, it's not the guy who's in office now, then who would you put there? If you could have, ultimately, if you could choose whoever you want to be the leader of the free world, who would that guy be? Somebody said to me today, Colin Powell, if his wife had let him run, he would be the guy, and he could compromise. Let's go to Joe in Arkansas. Hey, Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, you there?
I'm here. What's up?
Hey, I was just going to say, I think Ron Paul should be our next president, but I don't think the Republican establishment is going to let that happen.
You know what? I like a lot of what Ron Paul says. We've talked about this a lot on this show, Joe, and I think you're absolutely right. The problem is the Republican establishment wants nothing to do with that. And you know what? Part of the reason is because, remember, he said that he wanted, he was talking about that there was too much power when it came to salaries, and that salaries should be in check, and
exactly,
and smaller government, and so less government, and get rid of the Federal Reserve and all that sort of stuff.
And
so you're right.
I feel like that's exactly what we need right now. And a lot of people are comparing him to Jimmy Carter, and I think he would have a lot. I think there would be, you know, a lot of differences. I think they're saying he may be weak in wartime, you know, and I think, you know, if he surrounded himself with some good political and military advisors, that he would be a good leader in wartime. And I think he may be able to keep us out of some wars and not get us into unnecessary conflicts where we don't have any business sticking our nose in.
Well, like the few that we've already just been involved in for too long. Afghanistan is a great example of that. I agree with Ron Paul on that one. I'm iffy on the Iran thing because I think we need to shut Iran down. But Joe, he makes, you know, he talks a good game, and he talks a game that they don't like in Washington.
Exactly.
That's it.
And he what he says, he doesn't back off from his points. He'll stand beside what he says and doesn't flip-flop around like Romney and some of these other guys. So I wish more people would get on and look at what he has to say.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. He says, look, Ron Paul, he's the guy. Don in Wyoming, he's Romney all the way. Hey, Don.
How do you know I'm not going to vote for Obama?
Because you've said it. You've said Romney's the guy.
Are you
flip-flopping on who you're going to vote for?
Hey, Romney doesn't. So do the other guys. Everyone flip-flops. So.
They do.
Hey, I just said he's the only guy who's got a chance of beating Obama. I mean, the guy you just talked to there, Arkansas, just said that, oh, Paul's a, why won't the Democrat or the Republican establishment let him in or whatever?
They won't let him in. They don't want Ron Paul. Of course not. Absolutely they don't want him in.
Because he can't beat the Democratic establishment. So.
Right.
You know, I've listened to a lot of this stuff. I've been watching this stuff actually tonight, Kate, and kind of like, you know, football playoffs maybe a little bit. I don't know, the reporting, all that. I don't know. Anyway, it seems that a lot of Republicans, especially conservatives, are just not getting the message, you know. And that message is you can't beat the Democrats in a straight-up election with a conservative. It's just not going to happen, Kate. It would have happened with McCain. You know?
Yeah, so what do you do? I mean, how do you appease the different flavors of the Republican Party?
Well, this is why a lot of people are rooting for Romney. Look how he won Massachusetts, okay? Massachusetts, Democratic state, okay? Always have been. Only the Kennedys, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Bootlegging Kennedys. But anyways, that's a long time ago.
You're brutal.
Anyway, and the point was, he ran as a moderate Republican, okay? And he somehow won that state, won the governor of that state. I can't believe a Republican was ever governor of Massachusetts. But somehow he pulled that off because he got enough of the Democrats that maybe leaned to the right a little bit to vote for him to where he could win the election there, okay? That's what he's trying to do right now. So I've been talking about the last couple of weeks with you, okay? You trust me, Kate. His Mormon religion stamps him as a conservative, okay? We got a few flakes in the LDS faith that are Democrats, but they know darn well they're not following the doctrine of the church. I mean, you know, one of the main doctrines of Mormonism is self-acceptance and self-responsibility. That means not living off of other people, not having welfare checks sent to you, which, you know, Democratic Party seems to think is okay. But in any case, though, he is a conservative, Kate. He's just like I said, the whole gist of this next election is going to be the Democrats that lean to the right, a little bit, you know, they're moderates, are they willing to vote for Romney? If they don't, Obama's won the election again.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's where it's at. I like Rick Santorum. I like Ron Paul. I don't care for Gingrich because I think he's a flake. But in any case, though, I mean, he sits there and says, I'm going to bring drug gas prices down. What do you? There's a Newt Gingrich on the line with Ahmad the GI. Could you please not fight the war against Israel and blocking the Hormuz so we can drop the price of gallons for America? Even though you hate America, but he actually thinks the guys don't listen to him, you know? So anyway, though, I love conservative point of views, Kate, but I'm just telling you, it's just, unfortunately, I mean, I wish it was. I wish it was 50% Republican in America and 50% Democrat, and it would be a heck of a battle. It would be a fun battle, you know, to see which side would win, watch who'd show up to vote. Last thing I want to share with you quick here, Kate, is I'm looking at this stuff on Ohio tonight, okay? Now, Romney has squeaked it out by about 15,000 votes, and they're showing an apple of Ohio, and they're showing all the rural counties. They're all Santorum, because they all want to vote conservative. That's the way they think, okay?
Right.
And they show Romney sitting there in the urban areas winning the cities, okay? Now, you go back to the last election, like they're showing, Obama won all those in the election, all the urban areas, okay?
Yeah.
But then the question is, okay, Romney's showing that he can win in urban areas amongst Republicans.
Mm.
The question is, how many of those Democrats that live in those urban areas are voting tonight or might vote for Romney, you know? So that's where the whole election is going to be at. It's what's so funny. Nobody's pointed out. You know, they're talking about how he's got all these wins and they don't mean anything. Blah blah blah. Because the other guys are still in it.
Yeah.
I'm at the delegates right now for Paul Gingrich and Santorum together. They're not. All their delegates together don't match Romney right now.
No, the numbers, if you add up the numbers, I said that at the very get-go, the outset, you add up the numbers, it absolutely, the math spells Romney. No question. Thanks, Don. Any thoughts on the show, you know what to do, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Hey, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?
Is this a business decision, or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.
Why wouldn't I want to be here? This is fantastic. This is great.